Prepare yourselves for the infestation.
Oh, man, I just had an exterminator come. Oh, God.
Make sure you have lots of Raid and Purell.
Well, at least Purell, because whenever you go to a big festival, you're going to want to clean your hands a lot.
You don't want to be subject to the fantastic flu. But welcome, everybody, to The Infestation. This is oneofus.net's brand spanking new and lingering festival and conference and convention coverage umbrella. We're going to be using this feature to cover things like, hopefully in the future, things like Comic-Con and South By and all that good stuff. But, of course, it's so appropriate that we're starting with Fantastic Fest right here in Austin, Texas.
Our favorite festival.
It's so great. It's basically a Christmas tree shoved up the ass of a Thanksgiving turkey, covered in candy corn from Halloween, and then delivered to you on your birthday.
That is the grossest turducken I've ever heard of.
Right? It's terrible. But yeah, so Infestation, Chris and I and a few of our friends are going to be bringing you updates here at Fantastic Fest. Every single day, as far as what we've seen, what we've liked. Sometimes they'll just be what we're drinking. We'll bring you some audio from the various parties that we're going to. I mean, it's going to be a lot of fun, and we're going to cover this festival in the weird and wonderful way that you've come to expect from this website. But we thought we'd get started today, and the first day of the festival, I mean, it hasn't even really started yet.
We haven't actually been there yet, but we're about to.
Yeah, as soon as we're done recording this, we're going to head down there. But we're going to talk a little bit about the films that are playing this year that we are most excited to check out. And I'm going to start with you, Chris. What's first on your list of things to check out at this year's Fantastic Fest?
Well, a big one for me is one I've been talking about on my new show on Spill for a while because it sounds so cool, and that's Escape from Tomorrow by first-time writer-director Randy Moore.
Ah, yes.
And what makes this film neat is that it was a gorilla film shot. I don't mean there are gorillas in it, although
no.
It was at Disneyland, so I guess it's possible there were gorillas there. I
don't know. They weren't talking and dancing.
No, but it was shot gorilla style at Disneyland, a place that you really, generally speaking, can't go into permission unasked and make a movie yet.
No.
They filmed this whole, the majority of this film at the park, filming people who didn't know they were being filmed, filming attractions, and it's a horror movie.
Yeah.
Where it's a guy who's experiencing hallucinations of foreboding evil, and there's like a Disney conspiracy that's trying to kill him, and all sorts of stuff. This sounds really cool. Certainly, almost ambient art-like film. I've heard it compared with Lynch and Jodorowsky at points, but I love that kind of surreal stuff.
Sure.
So I'm really looking forward to seeing this film that probably has a bunch of people at Disney right now in a boardroom scratching their heads and deciding what they can do about it without coming off as a giant bag of dicks.
Yeah, this is bold Banksy type filmmaking. I mean, this has got a real edge to it the way they did this. Because yeah, Disneyland is the happiest place on earth, but just wait till you piss them off and you're introduced to places like Goofy's Magic Gulag. Yeah, you don't want to, like, the fact that they were able to pull this off, the fact that they had the balls to do it in the first place is impressive enough for me to want to see it. Absolutely. I think
Indeed.
That's a good pick. For me, I'm really excited for Ty West's latest film, The Sacrament.
That was going to be my next pick.
Well, too bad. Ty West, of course, is the director of House of the Devil and Innkeepers, two films that I really, really like. I think this guy is one of the best of the crop of young up-and-coming horror filmmakers. And in this film, he's teaming up again with A.J. Bowen, who is a friend of mine and a guy whose talent I really highly respect. And the story here, I don't want to give too much away, but basically they're looking for... Basically, it's like a commune, like a cult almost. It explores the idea of, and this is just what I've been told, I haven't seen anything, I'm going in a little bit blind here, but basically it's the idea that these two people are looking for a girl who's lost among this community of sort of bizarre people, like a commune of, much like one of us, like a oneofus.net, a group of complete weirdos who have come together to build their own little community. And what is going on there? Why did the sister disappear? Blah, blah, blah. That's the basic story. But I'm just really excited to see what Ty West does with it and how he brings his sort of slow creeping moodiness to this particular project. And it's gotten a lot of buzz out of other festivals, so I'm really excited to check it out.
Cool, yeah. Now, I mean, I like Ty West a lot. I'm a big fan of his stuff, so I look forward to seeing this most definitely. Well, for me, one of the ones I'm looking forward to, and not that I've heard anything about it, like anybody saying anything one way or another, not even that I'm the biggest Elijah Wood fan in the world, but Grand Piano is too freaking weird for me not to... Well, let me just put it this way. I'll try and phrase it one way and then add the kicker, and we'll see what you say. A man who was the best at what he does lost his nerve years ago, but now, finally, he returns to the driver's seat, only to find out that a mysterious thing is causing him to do his job perfectly, or everyone will die. No, I'm not talking about a Speed sequel. I'm talking about a grand pianist who, while he's playing the piano after returning to the stage after years of dealing with his fear of having a stage fright freeze up again like he did last time he was on stage, mysterious words start showing up on the page of the music while he's playing that says, play a wrong note and you die.
So it is a lot like a Speed sequel. It's just not produced by anyone involved with the Speed sequels.
No, although to be fair, Alex Winter is in this, and you know, he was in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, yep, which Keanu Reeves was in, and Keanu Reeves was in Speed, so kind of.
And Keanu Reeves has a movie here this year. So Alex Winter and Keanu Reeves both have a movie here this year.
Oh my god, the connections were there all along.
It's finally going to happen. This is going to be the festival where they finally come together and finalize everything on Bill and Ted 3.
Nothing could make me happier.
Literally nothing could make me happier. Awesome. You know, that's a good pick as well. I am really excited to see Big Bad Wolves. Now, this is from the team, the Israeli team that brought us Rabies a couple years ago, which was touted as one of the very first high-genre films to come out of Israel, which is surprising because it came out in, like, 2011. But Big Bad Wolves is their follow-up. Again, this is a movie I'm trying not to know too much about it going in. I just thought what they were able to do on Rabies was really spectacular. This is a serial killer story is about all I know about it. But yeah, those guys, I mean, for me, a lot of what gets me, there's two things that really get me excited about Fantastic Fest movies. One are the people involved. And two is just concepts. Like you were talking about with Grand Piano. Like sometimes you get the really wild concepts that it's just like, okay, I want to see what that looks like.
Yeah.
And Big Bad Wolves is definitely high up on my list.
Cool. Well, one of the ones, the first ones I knew was going to be playing here that I've been excited about for almost a year now is Jodorowsky's Dune. Now, this is a documentary about an adaptation of Frank Herbert's Dune books that never quite got made by absolutely insane director Alejandro Jodorowsky. This guy's made some of the craziest movies ever made, like El Topo, Santa Sangre, The Holy Mountain, and I'm a big fan of his crazy epic psychedelia. He got somehow, somebody thought, hey, what a great idea to get this guy to direct this in the 70s. So he assembled a huge group of like amazing people to work on it. Dan O'Bannon was writing the script. Mobius, H.R. Giger, and Chris Voss were hired to do design on this thing. Pink Floyd was doing the soundtrack. Orson Welles was Baron Harkonnen.
Yeah.
Salvador Dali was Shaddam the Fourth. It just, I mean, it was crazy. And there was lists of really cool stuff that has to do with this. There's archival footage of stuff they actually filmed, lots of art. And this is really an in-depth documentary looking at, like, what happened, where did it get, why did it get shut down, and what kind of evolved out of it. And I really hardly wait to see this one. This sounds amazing.
There's always something intriguing about the lore of the films that might have been.
Yeah.
You know, when someone almost directs something or almost stars in something and we're left wondering what that would have looked like. So I'm really interested to check this out. I'm always going to be a sucker for documentaries about filmmaking.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's just that. Obviously, that's something that's going to pique my interest. Speaking of documentaries about films, a few years ago, in 2008, there was a movie that played called Not Quite Hollywood, which was a complete rundown of the glory days of Ozploitation, the Australian genre film community. And weirdly enough, the director of that documentary, Mark Hartley, has now remade one of the centerpiece films in that documentary, Patrick, which is about a comatose telekinetic who is using his powers, even though he's in a coma, using his powers to fuck with people. It's a very bizarre movie that was originally directed by Richard Franklin, who was sort of Australia's Brian De Palma. Some people called him Australia's Hitchcock. He wasn't. He was Australia's Brian De Palma because everything he did was an homage to Hitchcock.
Only Hitchcock was Hitchcock's Hitchcock.
Yeah, exactly.
There's nobody else that fits in that category.
So Richard Franklin also made a movie called Road Games, which was Rear Window on Wheels. So, I mean, that was like his whole thing was that he was... I mean, and Patrick originally was sort of a Norman Bates-type character. Like, his whole backstory was very similar to Norman Bates. But anyway, so Mark Hartley has remade Patrick, starring Sharni Vinson, who was just in Your Next, which played like gangbusters at every film festival in Austin and every film festival across the country that showed it. And so, yeah, I'm really excited to see what his version of the movie that he featured in his own documentary looks like. I mean, this is a really weird situation we haven't really seen before. This would be like Ken Burns deciding to become a Civil War reenactor. You know, it's a weird game plan. And on top of that, it was just announced yesterday, Mark Hartley is now also going to remake Fair Game, another film featured in Not Quite Hollywood. I'm wondering if he's just going to remake the whole lot.
Why not? Most people haven't seen him, so as sure. long as they don't remake
Mad Max.
No. What was the one that he did part three of the series for, the horror movie series, where it was like a werewolf type thing, or like dingo were dingos?
Oh, you're talking about The Howling 3,
the
Howling Marsupials.
3, yeah, as long as he doesn't.
Yeah, let's leave that one alone. It's perfect as it is.
No one needs to see that in any way, shape, or form. It just doesn't sound that great. Actually, I've seen it, and I can assure you it's not that good. One of the films sounds interesting to me is Rigor Mortis. I don't know if you've looked this one up or not. It's kind of a glancing through these things like, wow, this sounds good. But it says a former movie star gets a battle he didn't bargain for when he moves into a haunted public housing tenement inhabited by various degrees of the undead. Now, that means like not just zombies, but like vampires and all kinds of stuff, ghosts, demonic spirits, all sorts of stuff. And apparently this Chinese film is a tribute / send up of classic Chinese vampire films like Mr. Vampire and Encounter of the Spooky Kind, which I have a very special place in my heart
for. You kind of have a hard on for those.
Nothing is really goofier and more fun than the Chinese hopping vampires in their martial arts Hong Kong martial arts horror films. Mm-hmm. They're hysterical. I love that shit. I mean, that was like Sammo Hung at his best, as far as I'm concerned, sure. when he was doing that stuff back then. And this sounds like a really cool modern day horror comedy. Really looking forward to this one.
Right on. Well, again, falling back on Fantastic Fest alums and people I know have delivered in the past, Ben Wheatley's new film is playing Fantastic Fest. It's called A Field in England. Ben Wheatley is the guy who brought us films like Kill List and Sightseers and Down Terrace and just knocks it out of the park again and again and again and again. And I'm really... This story sounds fascinating because it's about an alchemist during the British Civil War. Like way back, and I believe it was the 17th or 18th century, he forces a group of deserters to help him find buried treasure, and it said he then brings them to the mouth of madness. So I'm just like, yes, all of that. Give it to me now. Put it in my eyeballs.
And Sam Neill's sitting there, hey, come on in. Do you have an e-ticket?
Yeah, he's sitting there with popcorn just laughing his ass off. It's amazing. But yeah, Ben Wheatley, I don't care. Ben Wheatley could film a dog turd for an hour and a half, but if you said Ben Wheatley did it, I'd be like, okay, well, I got to see what it looks like at least.
Okay, cool. Well, one of the ones I know I'm looking forward to is We Are What We Are, which looks really creepy. Now, this is a debut film from writer-director Jorge Michael Grau, the Mexican version of this was at Fantastic Fest 2010, where it won Best Feature and Best Screenplay. Now, this is him doing an American remake of this movie, and it looks even more intense, quite frankly, with a bigger budget and more recognizable faces behind it. Basically, this family, they're very Christian in a sort of very old-school way. They're very odd. They basically live in a shack of a house way away from everyone else. But when the mom dies, the whole family's thrown into chaos. The eldest daughter is supposed to step up, take her mother's responsibility to prepare a special meal that ends the feast. And anytime at Fantastic Fest there's a special meal involved, you know what that means. Human meat.
Yeah, there's going to be cannibalism.
This looks really cool, and some of the advance word on this from other screenings that have taken place for it at other festivals have been really high with praise for it. So I'm actually super excited to see this one. It looks like sort of art horror that mm-hmm. is definitely kind of will cross over into the mainstream enough that regular audiences and maybe, who knows, maybe even Academy audiences will get a chance to see and appreciate this one.
I think you'll dig that one. I actually, that's one of the few I did get a chance to see beforehand. I think you'll dig that one.
Yeah, in fact, the beard, Luke, wrote the review on Fantastic site for it. So
there you go.
Look at that.
I'm gonna bring my final selection here and give it to Ninja Shadow of a Tear.
I knew it.
Ninja Shadow of a Tear is a sequel to the 2009 film Ninja, starring Scott Atkins, who is one of my favorite promising martial arts talents out there. And it was directed by Isaac Florentine yet again, who also directed Atkins not only in Ninja, but in Undisputed 2 and Undisputed 3, in which he plays Yuri Boyka, the most badass prison fighter you'll ever meet. And I really love these guys' collaborations. I think they're not high art, but they are so much fun. And I mean, this is totally looks like it's going to be a throwback to the days of Dudikoff and the days of Shogasugi and the glory days of 80s ninja madness. So,
man, you can lose a lot of weight fighting Scott Atkins. It's like the Atkins diet.
Oh, I get it, because it's diet.
Get it? I'm really sorry.
Man, you should really warm up your muscles before a stretch like that.
I know. I had to do it. I had to do it. I was thinking about it, and my brain was telling me, don't do it. Don't do it. But my heart said, yes.
Do it.
Dude. Maybe it was my penis. I'm not sure.
It's hard to say.
Those two are very similar.
Or soft to say. Depends.
My last pick, of course, there's a lot more stuff than this that I'm interested in, is Man of Tai Chi.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, in fact, a film that's such a big film here for the festival that it's the featured film with the Fantastic Debates, where
yep.
Tim League first debates whether or not Tai Chi is just for, or a martial art for old ladies with Keanu Reeves, the star of this film himself. And then Keanu Reeves, being a big pussy, hands it off to the lead of his film, Tiger something or other, who is like the martial arts badass in this, who is going to fight Tim League straight up.
Yeah.
I'm still like, look, come on, man. That fight's going to last 10 seconds. Whereas Keanu Reeves, okay, he knows martial arts too, but Tim might stand a little more of a chance against Keanu than he would against this guy. I can just imagine that somewhere an insurance agent's like, oh, fuck no. That face is worth a couple $1 million. I don't know.
You know, he knows Kung Fu, but I'm interested to see whether Keanu Reeves knows the Socratic method of debate and whether his order skills are up to snuff. Is this Keanu Reeves in a debate? Seriously?
True. This is going to be more. That'll be the more struggle for him. Well, to be fair, Keanu's actually, it's funny. We always picture him as dumb, but he's like a Mensa graduate. He's like really loved by people in Hollywood to work with him. He's got an immensely high IQ.
So he's got the Dolph Lundgren situation where everybody thinks Dolph Lundgren's dumb, but it's like, hey, I was a chemical engineer in Sweden.
It's just something about the roles he's picked and like his accent. I mean, I don't know if you watched that documentary, I did too, that Reeves put together himself.
Yes, that's very true.
About digital film. And side by side. Fascinating. Mm-hmm. Fascinating movie. And he has so much interesting stuff to say. So Tim might be in trouble there. But that being said,
because Tim's going to be drunk.
The movie is a cross nation production. I guess it's Chinese and American, with Keanu Reeves being a guy. I guess he runs like a fight group, like underground fight club type thing, and he finds this new discovery of this guy and sponsors him as a fighter. And you know, I mean, it's funny, the trailer even has a few Mortal Kombat lines. It's like the boy Keanu Reeves leans in and goes, finish him. It's like awesome. Want to see this?
Definitely.
And the trailers show that this guy Tiger, what's his face,
Tiger Chin,
is amazing. And so I really look, you know, I love a good martial arts film, and this looks like it's going to be a good martial arts film.
This looks like it may be the martial arts film of Fantastic Fest. Well, guys, yeah, that's sort of our preview, day one. And we, like I said, we're going to be bringing you some audio, some video. You just have no idea what we're going to be up
to. That's because we don't even know.
That's because we have no game plan whatsoever. But we do know that we want to cover this festival from as many angles as possible and make you guys feel like you're there with us. That's our whole goal.
Yeah, and we're packed to the gills with audio visual equipment we're carrying with us anywhere, so we're just going to be opportunistic as fuck.
Yeah, it's going to be like a James Franco behind the scenes documentary, except we're going to be slightly less high. Slightly.
I can promise nothing.
Okay. Well, we hope you'll stick around and listen to more of our Fantastic Fest coverage right here on oneofus.net's Infestation. And until then, if we're not back in 15 days, please call our mothers.